All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our NBA podcast for Thursday, March 23rd. I am Doug Norrie, that is
James Davis.
And we are here to discuss a little Thursday NBA action for FanDuel and DraftKings. We're from dailyfantasysportsrankings.com, DFSR.com, if you like typing in a lot less letters into your web browser. We're here to help you get started, keep winning on FanDuel and or DraftKings. We have a free 3-day trial to our projection system that has an optimal lineup that's powered by lineuplab.com. For FanDuel and DraftKings, you head over free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. Includes hockey projections. We'll include MLB optimal lineups when the time comes. So I think that's about as good a deal as you'll find in the industry. Free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. There we go. DFSR.com/membership. I got it out. Sometimes you say the same thing over and over and over again and it gets in your head and then you screw it up. And that's how you do live reads, buddy.
And that's what you do every day. So
take a couple notes about how to get into the broadcasting business. All right. We have, I would say, a pretty interesting slate of games here tonight, coming off not a wild night in the NBA, but sort of one of those, hey, there's a bunch of news right before lock. Now we need to evaluate guys like Joffrey Laverne starting for the Bulls, sure. And they're going to start Mrotić, and that sometimes matters and sometimes doesn't. Any lasting thoughts from last night's games, or do you just want to move on to Thursday?
No, yeah, we can talk last night's games real quick. It wound up being a really interesting night for a couple of reasons. The first was the big man situation in Chicago. The interesting thing there was the combination of the Mrotić thing has been a disaster up and down all season long. One of the reasons we wound up keying in on him, I think he wound up being in our second lineup, which last night we recommended to our users, splitting between the top two lineups. He wound up being in there simply because not only was Robin Lopez out, which hadn't been the situation, you know, in the past when Mrotić had been very erratic, but also Felicio was out too. So, you know, famous last words and all, but somebody had to play the minutes, and so when he was named the starter alongside Laverne, we wound up settling in on there. We played Laverne on DraftKings, and he was terrific there. Outside of that, it wound up just being, I mean, there's just some things you can't possibly help, like blowouts in two of the major DFS games last night, with the OKC game versus Philly, and of course the Chicago game as well. You know, stuff like that happens from time to time. Shines a continued light on what a $13,000 player needs to do to really feel worth it. Westbrook hits 53 fantasy points, good for 4X, which, you know, is a disaster, but right, still winds up working out okay. So, you know, overall, relatively satisfied with the night. It could have been a huge one had we dodged a blowout or two, but life goes on. So we're living large, ready to do this thing on Thursday.
As we get into the late season, we will start seeing more and more just sort of nobody's crop up and be DFS relevant. This happens every single year. It specifically happens for the bad teams. You know, Chicago doesn't necessarily, Chicago was a kind of an outlier case in that they just, you know, Lopez punched Ibaka and then Felicio landed on his butt, and that was kind of like the reason those two guys weren't there. But as we get late in the season, we're going to see just more and more of these teams that stink trot out guys that stink but are going to be relevant because they're going to play. And so this is, you know, early in the season, you're trying to evaluate, you know, who is going to, you know, actually produce for a team. Middle of the season, you're dealing with some injury stuff and trying to evaluate, you know, where these new players fit into new roles on relatively established teams. And then late in the season, it's all about just trying to figure out teams like Phoenix and Brooklyn and what their plans are as they continue to try to lose, or in Brooklyn's case, not so much. So this is what makes DFS tricky. It makes it fun, but you know, those last half hours before locks, when you start getting, I mean, Laverne is not a no name if you've been playing DFS for a while, because he's had a moment or two, but
For the general, he's had his moments.
Yeah, right. For the DFS public, or the, you know, just for the NBA public fan, it's going to be really tough to evaluate those situations. So that's what we're always trying to hone in on our process. All right, let's get into Thursday's games. We have five games going tonight, which is probably one more than typical on your Thursdays. Lineups don't go until 7:30 tonight, so just make that note that when you're lying to your family about what you need to do, you want to start you want to start that a half hour later this time. Keep that in mind. 7:30 start. Miami and Toronto. Two personnel notes here. One, Dion Waiters is out indefinitely, yep. So we're getting a better idea of what Miami's plan is without him. And for Toronto, Ibaka has been suspended because of that fight with Lopez the other night. So a couple interesting pieces of just injury personnel related news. What are your general thoughts? We'll go each team here. Miami side. They had a blowout last game. Did you feel like you were looking through some minutes and stuff last night? Did you feel like you learned anything from the last game, or you kind of went back to the first game that Waiters didn't play?
Well, yeah, it did wind up being tough. the guy that I was really trying to key in on and figure out was Josh Richardson. You know, wound up leaving him at 33 minutes. That might wind up being low going into tonight's game. I guess, you know, you'll ultimately have to decide that since you're on the system tonight. But it's really tough to determine because, yeah, the game was a blowout, but he wound up playing more minutes somehow.
Right.
And is that a sign that maybe that was the intention all along, or like it was just like an acknowledgement from their team, hey, we're just kind of out of guys here. Somebody's got to go out and be on the court. I get that it's a blowout, you know? So Richardson was really the guy I had the greatest difficulty with, the most DFS relevant guy that I had difficulty with, because I think everything else is kind of straightforward. I mean, I think Dragic is a fantastic value with waiters out of the equation, even in relatively bad matchups like this one against Toronto. You know, I think James Johnson continues to be a good value on these prices, again, even in relatively tough matchups. So I don't know that it really, that game didn't really change anything for me dramatically, but I think it did raise the alarm on Richardson just a little bit more, because I don't know that you necessarily want to be playing him against Toronto. He hasn't really been great on this price anyway, but we saw some stretches where he was terrific on this price earlier in the season, so wouldn't want to let him fall off the radar entirely.
Yeah, the Miami situation is interesting because there are a couple guys that stand out. Like you said, Dragic, Johnson, Tyler Johnson sort of as well, and then Richardson.
Yeah, Tyler Johnson's another one. I mean, he was terrific last game, but sure. I don't know if you what kind of weight you can put on that, again, given the blowout and the great opponent and so on.
Well, so Miami is an interesting situation in that, and I mentioned this last time with James Johnson and then didn't follow my own advice. So last time when they ran against a Phoenix, I had mentioned on the podcast that my concern with James Johnson is if any game gets, he's the first guy that is going to lose minutes because he doesn't play the first 7 or 8 minutes of the first quarter. And if the game doesn't stay close, that's the end of him. And that's exactly what happened with him, right? Like, he just ended up playing 21 minutes or something like that, was terrible on his price, was relatively chalk play. But he was a guy that was so close. I kind of just didn't want to do it for that very reason. Ended up playing him, and then he just missed it. And I think that's my concern with, again, like a guy like Tyler Johnson falls into the same category. These guys come off the bench, and as we know, and we've learned 1,000 times more, that I just couldn't, and sometimes you just can't get past it or whatever. But when these guys come off the bench, and they're integral parts of the team. So it's one thing to come off the bench, be just sort of a scrub, and then you play blowouts because the team wants to get a look at you. Tyler Johnson and James Johnson don't fit that category. These guys are important to the team. They're not going to just run them extra minutes and blowouts. So that's my one concern. If you lose 6, 7, 8, 10 minutes on expectation, you're totally dead, right? And so,
well, let's be real with Tyler Johnson. Like, I think this just shines a light on what it's like to play DFS in the year 2017. The guy's a $6,300 player who plays maybe 29 minutes off the bench. Like, he's just not a value. Like, you could really talk yourself into this at 5,000, but the risk you're taking on and playing him at 6,300 is just absurd. And sure, can he do 6x on this price? Absolutely. But why? Like, why would you want to try to do that? I don't know. So, yeah, I won't be playing Tyler Johnson in any format. I mean, unless something really dramatic changes here.
No, I guess I was more referring to James Johnson in this, because James Johnson is coming toward the top end of the power forward points per dollar scale in our system right now. We have him at 31 minutes. That's probably the peak of what you can expect. Now, this is a good matchup for him because Toronto has a lot of similar sort of stretch four wing players like him. And he just seems like the kind of guy that they would want to have out there in this kind of matchup. Look, I'm not an NBA coach. I'm not Spoelstra, obviously. I'm close, but not all the way there
yet.
You're not?
Yeah. No. You're like the Spoelstra of DFSR, though.
That's true. Just like
kind of like the shortest guy, stands over there, not really doing. But he's short compared to like James Johnson and those guys.
Gotcha.
Like, he's
gotcha. You're doing it like a watching him on TNT comparison, I see. Exactly. All right, let's go over to the Toronto side. Noah Baca tonight. Where do you think that puts the Raptors team? He's a huge minutes guy. Not a huge usage guy, but he has put up points since coming over to Toronto at times. Where did you allocate some of Baca or all of Ibaka's minutes to last night?
Yeah, well, wind up being tricky because, I mean, one of the things we knew about the Raptors before this was that all the guys who had been using Ibaka's minutes all sucked. So Jacob, and sucked for DFS purposes, like Pascal Siakam and Jacob Poeltl, all those guys, like, they're just not DFS relevant at all. The interesting guy for me actually was Jonas Valanciunas, and, you know, another guy that we'll try to figure out, you know, if those minutes are real, like, because he's actually been the guy who's been hurt the most. And, you know, he falls in that category of big man you and I can never figure out, where it seems to, when he goes out there, put up great points per minute production for fantasy purposes and in terms of points and rebounds. But just his play on the defensive end is too bad, I guess, that he just can't stay out there. So JV, If he plays 28 to 30 minutes, I think he's a really, really good value. Like, he's put up some serious numbers on these prices in the past. But if that's just not the plan, if they're just kind of moving on emotionally and they're just going to play Patrick Patterson 34 minutes, then it could wind up being pretty risky. And then Patterson's the other guy. You know, Patterson's a guy you and I have had many cold sweats sitting there being like, Patrick Patterson's still only 3,600? Can right. we play him? And being like, I don't know. Like, he played 28 minutes against Washington and barely squeaked out 18 fantasy points, you know. Like, so I just don't know that it, normally a guy like Ibaka going out would open up great opportunity. I'm just not sure that's the case here.
PJ Tucker played 33 minutes last game. They have, I think they've started him one other time in the past. It wasn't for Ibaka, it was for Carroll. I'm not sure how comfortable they would feel maybe moving Carroll up to the four and Tucker, you know, but I mean, 33 minutes was also in overtime, so it was probably more realistically like 28 minutes. So, I would actually probably feel comfortable if we know the starting lineup ahead of time, which we will. I would feel somewhat comfortable. Like, if Tucker was playing in straight up place of Ibaka, like if they started Carroll and Tucker together, I'd probably feel comfortable playing Tucker, putting Tucker in for a decent amount of minutes. I'd probably feel the same about Patterson as well. I think I just want to see the starting lineup first before making that evaluation. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is definitely not the case where you just say somebody's got to play the minutes and try to guess. Like, I think knowing who's going to be out there at the start of the game will make a big difference here. Yeah, I mean, Tucker last game played 33 minutes, but that was overtime too. So there's a lot of mouths to feed there, and I just don't know who's going to get first servings, as it were.
Oh, good one. Fantastic analogy. DeRozan's coming off a huge game where he, again, that game went into overtime, though he was pretty much at value in just even in regulation. He ended up going 42, 8, and 7, took an unreal 38 shots just in time for me to lower some of his usage because over the short term, he had not been, he was a guy that was in every lineup that night. And then I just been, the short term query on his usage had just been so far down that I thought we were too high. And then bingo bango, he basically doubles himself up in one game. How do you like DeRozan tonight?
Yeah, I mean, the thing with DeRozan is it's still not a great matchup. So even if you like him at kind of the previous assumption on shots, like 22, 23 shots a game, I still don't know if that necessarily gets him there. I mean, one thing that was kind of tricky about tonight, and you can just look up and down the teams and intuit this probably, but there really aren't a lot of good big money options at all. And so maybe if you can get some punts elsewhere, DeRozan winds up being a payoff that you're interested in. He's not really for me. I guess, like, you know, you put me through the paces on this at length before the podcast, so we don't need to put everyone through that again. But and not in a bad way, but we talked about this just quite a long time. It's like, what do you trust with DeRozan, right? We acknowledge that at the end of the season, guys pretty much replicate their performance from year to year, barring like really young guys or really old guys. And for DeRozan, we have these underlying assumptions, like when Lowry's out, he's going to shoot X shots per game. Last game, he shot 38 shots. The 10 games before that, he was shooting no shots at all. So right. which is the sample size we trust? Is it his whole career? Is it the last game? Is it the last 10 games? This is kind of the art to doing basketball projections. And it's where, frankly, most of the money is made too. So I don't want to cop out of it entirely. I'd say with DeRozan at this point, after seeing last game's performance, there's clearly no health issue, right? There's clearly no energy issue necessarily. So I think we just chalk it up to season averages and let the chips fall where they may lie. But I think he's still just a little too expensive for a bad matchup.
Yeah, it's going to be close for me because, again, like, he had 38 shots last game. The next closest in 26 minutes was Ibaka at 13. And so that he's gone too. And so this is another one. It's like, who's going to take the shots? Like, we'll take a long look at this before or during the day today. I think I can see a situation just looking up and down some of the rest of these plays, and it more has to do with the rest of the player pool, like you said, than it just does have to do with DeRozan specifically.
Yeah, it's a rough player pool for actual good players, for sure.
Right, we just might find ourselves in a situation of just like, just going to have to take the raw points of the money because there's nowhere to spend and whatever. Okay, moving on to the other 7:30 game. Brooklyn and Phoenix.
That's a good one.
Oh, man. I will tell you, there aren't many games that I would just absolutely refuse to watch. This is pretty close to one of them, and it also becomes incredibly DFS relevant, which is going to make me probably forced to watch it. So we have a Brooklyn team. Jeremy Lin is either questionable or probable. He might play tonight. It doesn't always really matter with Brooklyn because they are pretty incentivized to not play anyone more than 28 to 29 minutes. And then you have the Phoenix side of the ball. No Bledsoe, no Knight. Ulis, I suppose, is their only option at point guard. Where are you, if I'm looking for quote-unquote safe plays from this game, where do you see them kind of ending up?
Yeah, Ulis is the main guy that comes to mind. The Suns are just handling him negligently and playing him for 42 minutes a game, again, regardless of game script. So, you know, he was very bad last game on 42 minutes. It stands to reason that maybe he just gets tired eventually. But given that he's had a day off, I can't envision a scenario where he's not out there for 39-plus minutes a game. And if that's the case, he's been a value on these prices basically every game except for the last one. He's very expensive now, and I think that this might wind up being the last game where we can make kind of a blanket recommendation on him, because after this game, I suspect the price will go up, and I know that the matchup will get worse because Brooklyn's the very best matchup in the league for opposing point guards. So taking all that together, this is a night where I'm happy to play Ulis, but it probably winds up being the last night where I'm happy to play Ulis. After that, things drop off pretty dramatically for me. I think you can talk yourself into Devin Booker if you trust the shots. One interesting piece of news for tonight will be Alan Williams. I don't know if you noticed this the other night, because I know we weren't playing him, but...
Played him on fantasy draft, so I noticed. Yeah.
he mysteriously just never came in, and people were like, huh, what's going on with Alan Williams? Like, change his rotation? Nah, he was never going to play. They just never bothered to tell anybody.
So. Well, they did. There was an alert that got sent out, but it was like 14 minutes after the game started. Like, it was just like, maybe some reporter just noticed it.
Like, they just never, like, that's not the time normally, right, that we hear a basketball player's out, like, after the first quarter.
Right. Well, I think some reporter just looked up and down the bench. He was like, I just don't see him. I don't see him there at all. I'm just going to go for him. I'm just going to call him out tonight. Like, I know we never heard from the team specifically about this, but he's just simply not on the bench or at the game. So I guess he's out. No, I noticed it because I had him on, I had him on fantasy draft. Yeah, I think that the Suns.
And that opens up my point there was that would open up more minutes for Alex Len, who did wind up playing a ton of minutes. Yes. He's obviously got a great matchup here and paid 6x in two of the last three games and increased minutes. So he should definitely be on your radar. He's more than just a regular backup. Like, we've seen a long track record of him producing on starters minutes. So yeah, I would definitely be keeping an eye on that as well.
And I would typically say, well, it's a 7:30 game, so we'll definitely know. But like you said, we just might not. So
nothing, I wouldn't trust it for sure. But I think we'll hear something because they're going to be asked. That was so unusual that someone's got to ask the question.
I think basically all the Suns are in play, all starting five, even independent of that Williams news. Chris, Warren, yeah. Booker, yeah, Ulis. Brooklyn's just such a good matchup. It's really just that Brooklyn is so, so bad. And so, and even at like mid-tier prices, I'd probably be okay doing it. And it's mostly having to do with some of these other matchups. By the way, real quick, before I get into those, Brooklyn side of the ball, anything here? I mean, if Lin were to come back, would you feel comfortable giving him like 29 minutes or no?
It just depends on what their take on it was. Like, Lin is weird with this ankle stuff. I guess Brooklyn doesn't want to risk him necessarily. You know, he hasn't really been playing that many minutes as it is, so it seems like if he came in, they wouldn't play him on reduced minutes or anything. That being said, I don't see what the point is really for cash game purposes, unless we get like a full clear on, oh no, he's totally fine. Like, he's going to play 30 minutes. I think you're at least taking on some risk. Maybe it winds up being the right play based on the other options, but not one you'd feel super excited about. Another guy I think that, you know, maybe is off radars a little bit, could be a reasonable play, is Brook Lopez. Phoenix is still a very decent matchup for opposing centers, and Lopez actually has a nice little consistent streak here, both in terms of minutes that are on the rise. He played 33 minutes in each of his last two games after not playing more than that. Just once the rest of this year. So that's a good sign to me. And he's top 5X on these prices in two of the last three games as well, in spite of considerably more tough matchups like Detroit, Dallas, and Boston. So I think he's definitely in play here for tonight. Big tournament option for sure. And if he wind up in cash games, I wouldn't hate it. But, you know, just you never want to play anyone in Brooklyn, but if you have to, he's a reasonable option for sure.
And they're coming off of a win against Detroit the other night. I was watching that game. They were very excited about that win. If you were watching the Nets, they felt I don't know if that was like the equivalent of their Game 7 NBA Finals like for this season. But Lopez is draining threes and just, you know, signaling to the bench. They got Archie Goodwin going to the lane. I mean, it was and tonight I will say Brooklyn has the highest over. No, they're 1 point below the Trailblazers tonight for highest implied total of the evening. They're up at 113.5. Portland's 114.25. So just a little less than a point, less than that team. That's an unbelievable over for a team that, again, doesn't play anybody significant minutes except for Lopez. I can see Lopez.
They're 4-6 in their last 10. That's amazing for them. That's the same as the Cavs, by the way. And I guess they got the swagger back.
It really was. It was such a comedy show watching them, how excited they were beating Detroit the other night in a close game. I mean, I just can't even describe it, but they just couldn't have been happier. It was like that team the rec team that hasn't won a game all year, and now all of a sudden they just find themselves just beating the first place team somehow, the thing, and then they just couldn't be more excited. They'll talk
it's like the Mighty Ducks, you know, Detroit, they're all like taller. they all jump higher.
Those guys went to the Olympics, so I'm not sure that's a tall. All right, let's get into the Clippers and the Mavericks. Give me thoughts on a game that probably will be a little bit better to watch, but I'm not sure it's totally DFS relevant.
Yeah, better to watch, I guess, in that there's a good team playing in this game. that's a step in the direction from some of the other ones. I mean, Dallas, surprisingly uncompetitive this season. I guess I trust the line just because this game rates to be slow-paced, but I don't really know what I'm supposed to be excited about in looking at this. Like, you know, our system just hates Chris Paul, for instance.
Right.
Can't even dream about playing him. Likes Harrison Barnes because it's a day ending in Y. So maybe he winds up in some lineups. It is weird with Barnes. Like, it's a case, it's about the most boring case I can possibly make. And I've said it or written it 15 times in the last 2 months. But, like, he does just kind of still play these minutes. And he still is a guy who scores 30 fantasy points a game. So, you know, yeah, he was bad again last game against Golden State in a hashtag revenge game. But I just don't know. Like, he's cheap and it's a good matchup. Clippers have been bad against opposing small forwards since we've been in business. So he's definitely a consideration. He's cheap. He might just actually just wind up being tough to get away from. After that, it's just a lot of guys I'm not very interested in. None of the Clippers just because of the matchup, and guys like Dirk, too erratic for me to really get too excited about.
Yeah, thankfully here at Dallas, we just have a good sample size on Dallas. They just play so slow that you just don't, even though they're not like necessarily the most defensively sound team overall, their pace is so slow that it just totally crushes teams going the other way for DFS purposes. And for a team like the Clippers, that even though some of those guys were coming at decent values in even just league average matchups, if you thought like the minutes were going to be there, Dallas does us sort of a favor by just taking them off the table. And I think I'm fine with just basically avoiding this game on anything but the 8:30 only slate, which is going to be a tough one because the other game is San Antonio and Memphis, two other teams that we're just happy to typically not just really play anybody against. One guy the system does like, though, is Conley, mostly because San Antonio has not been fantastic against point guards this year. Would that be a guy that you would feel safe in cash games? He's only 7,600 on FanDuel. It's kind of a deal. You have to figure the minutes will sort of be there. But it's a matchup against the Spurs, and that also just doesn't really necessarily make you feel great.
Yeah, I don't feel great about it necessarily. It's again one of those situations where it's very tough to figure out who you are supposed to pay up for tonight. With Conley, actually, I think it's less a case of the matchup and more a case of just him being underpriced relative to his production. I mean, it's kind of similar to Harrison Barnes in that way, and that if you just look up and down Conley's game log for the last month or two, I mean, the usage has gone up, or the time of possession where the ball in his hands has gone up. The production has followed. He's just kind of a good play on 7,600, almost independent of matchup. The fact that the system isn't quite as bullish on Conley as usual is an indicator of the fact that this is a relatively tough matchup. But hey, he went out there against the Spurs and put up 39 fantasy points against them 2 games ago. So I don't mind playing Conley at all here. I'm not sure how chalk will be because of the defensive reputation of the Spurs. Maybe it winds up just even being correct. Like, just playing a guy like Dragic is a little safer. But yeah, I can see playing it. But on the Memphis side of the ball, that's kind of it, right?
Yeah, I think that's where people would make the distinction. They'll say, okay, I can play Conley, but I can just for 400 more play Dragic, and I'll save somewhere else. And I think that probably is correct also. Like, I think Dragic just has slightly more upside than Conley in this matchup, though. If Memphis can keep it close, you can see 37, 38 minutes out of Conley here, just because this is also a game that they're incentivized to try to win. But on the San Antonio side,
it's actually more of a floor argument for me of Dragic over Conley, because Conley, he actually has flashed great upside on these prices recently. We really haven't totally, I mean, I guess Dragic has the upside too. I don't know. It's quite close between the two. And I think if you're erring on the side of safety for cash game purposes, you're going to see Dragic in more lineups tonight overall. So that's probably the direction I would lean if I could.
Yeah, me too. Kawhi is getting real expensive, over 9,000 on FanDuel. I mean, you have to figure he does play minutes here, but again, the matchup is just not great. Anything on the Spurs side of the ball, I mean, he's the guy that usually stands out because he's the safest on minutes if the game stays close. But I don't know if there's anything on the Spurs side that makes you want to play anybody here. I'm not seeing it, but maybe you do.
No, not really. Kawhi, yeah, the price actually come down just a little bit recently, but I mean, these two teams are the third and fourth slowest teams in the entire NBA, so that's already going to just really depress fantasy value. Guys that are relatively fairly priced already, like Kawhi, based on being a known commodity, not too exciting to me. So I don't think as of this moment that there's really any potential injury news or anything like that affecting this game. You know, Tony Allen might sit again, but I don't know that that really does anything too dramatic for your DFS purposes. Aldridge played 38 minutes randomly against Minnesota. If you think that that's going to kind of be where things head for him, maybe play him next game. But I just don't. I just don't think you're really doing it this game at all.
No, I think this will be a game. I think this 8:30 games. You're just going to see a lot of people avoid these ones. I think it's going to be pretty much stacked on that Phoenix-Brooklyn, the Toronto-Miami, and then the final game of the night is the Trailblazers and the Knicks. Trailblazers are huge favorites here, minus 11. They have the highest implied total of the evening. They are a team that will run their guards a few more minutes than normal. Do you think that anyone from Portland comes into the cash game consideration here, figuring that they're supposed to put up the most points of the evening?
Yeah, potentially. Certainly for the rest of the DFS industry, there's going to be significant exposure to this game. It's kind of weird because, so McCollum, he's a guy we've been recommending, or at least our system has been recommending him, whether we have or not. But his price has gone up dramatically. I mean, his price has gone up 10% after the last Milwaukee game where he was bad, right? And so now we've got two straight games where he's been unimpressive on a $7,100 price tag and paying $700 more. When he was kind of having difficulty paying that price already is a little bit troubling. That being said, the Knicks are a tremendous matchup for opposing shooting guards. They really don't have anyone with the energy or interest, I think, to chasing McCollum around the perimeter. The price has gone up, but I think the matchup is good enough to where you can talk yourself into it looking down the game log and seeing impressive performances against Atlanta, San Antonio, Phoenix, and Washington. So yeah, I think we wind up landing on McCollum. There's other guys here, like Nurkic, I think, is another guy a lot of people are going to take a hard look at tonight with the Knicks center depth. He looks pretty attractive. I mean, he's another guy. I don't know if this is just FanDuel or what, but the prices have gone up on him as well in spite of last game not being fantastic. But he was great the prior three games before that. So I think he's another guy you'll see in cash games. After that, things get quite a bit dicier.
Well, Nurkic could be great tonight. I mean, the Knicks have just legit nothing to guard the interior with. We saw this with Gobert last night. I think I saw something this. I mean, Gobert was great no matter what, but I think I saw a headline that said something like Gobert had the highest effective field goal percentage in of any player this whole season last night. he just could not be stopped. They had no answer for him at all. And Nurkic is, rough, possibly as good an offensive player. He's not as good a center overall, obviously. I don't want anyone to confuse that. But from an offensive point of view, Nurkic has, legit skills here. And if they had trouble just stopping Gobert around the interior, just from an offensive standpoint, they could have huge issues with Nurkic, who is also not a candidate to get in foul trouble against what they're going to throw at him. So you could see him not as maybe a chalk play, but I think there's a tremendous amount of upside for Nurkic, even at 7,600, if he can stay on the floor. So it'll be interesting taking a look at guys like him and Len and Brook Lopez. Well, let me put it this way. Him or Brook Lopez tonight, straight up. They're 76. Nurkic is 76 on FanDuel, Lopez 72.
Yeah, I would go Nurkic. I don't think it's particularly close if you're going for safety and trying to follow the chalk. In terms of overall production, a little bit closer to me, but yeah, still Nurkic.
Yeah, I can probably see that only because Nurkic does a little bit more, is able to produce his fantasy points a little more with a little more diversity than Lopez is, who just does need to score. All right, daily fantasy. Oh, real quick, before I do the final read here, anyone on the Knicks at all? Melo, Zynga, Porzingis, Rose, anybody?
No, well, Melo, I don't know if you saw the news on this, but they were talking about playing Melo fewer minutes going forward for the rest of the season. Played 25 minutes two games ago, and I didn't even look at his minutes total for last game. He played 36 against Utah, but one way or the other, the indicators on him are all negative right now, so would not touch Melo. A lot of people have speculated that that's going to open up more room for Porzingis. Porzingis' price has gone up quite a bit recently. It's still definitely a value from time to time on 7,000, so he's in play for tonight, but the minutes haven't quite been there, even in closer games. So, yeah, I don't know where we're going to wind up on him, but Certainly, at least a guy to be aware of.
Do you think Melo logged into FanDuel this morning and said 6,500? Oh my God, what has happened to me?
Coach, you got to give me my minutes, Coach.
You got to get me back in there for one time. Prove these fools wrong. We're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. Head over to the site now. Free trial for 3 days, $29.95 a month. After that, that's going to give you optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. NBA, we'll give you optimal lineups for MLB as well. We'll have those pretty much set up the day or day after FanDuel and DraftKings release their prices on those slates. We'll have a first look at our projections for MLB, which is right around the corner. So try it out free for 3 days, $29.95 a month. After that, you're all set to go. Buddy, talk to you again tomorrow for NBA Podcast. Enjoy your night off. I got it from here.
Yeah, man. You're on.